to Pastor Jim in his absence, and to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's good to be here one more time, and I'm grateful to Jim for having invited me again to stand in his stead to say a word for our Lord. And I know you all know this, and I say this every time I come. I joke a lot about Jim and everything, but I know you all know you all have a blessed pastor indeed.
Amen.
And it's something if somebody else wants to hear your pastor preach. You know, it's not a thing to be taken lightly that God has given other people an ear to hear what he has to say. And I say that because a lot of times, you know, Jesus even said that, you know, a prophet is not out reward saving his hometown. You know, he goes other places and he's respected and, you know, he's looked up as this great preacher. And sometimes at home, because you see him every day, you tend to think that he's just Jim. And he is just Jim, but, you know, but God has blessed him tremendously with a knack for explaining the gospel clearly. And I know you all appreciate that. If you don't, you ought to. That's my point. If you don't, you ought to appreciate that and be grateful that God has allowed him opportunities to spread the gospel across the country, because where he goes, he carries this church with him. And I hope you're praying for him that it goes well, because if it doesn't, it works both ways. And where is he pastor now? Right? GCA. Well, we'll never go there. Right? So pray that it goes well for him in Texas, and the Lord bless him with safe travel and bring him back here to preach again. Amen?
Amen.
I won't keep you long this morning. I shouldn't have said that, should I? They always say those are the last words of the long sermon. I won't keep you long. We'll see what the Lord says. Very familiar passages in Genesis, the second chapter. You know them well, and let's see. I know where I want to start, but I don't know where I want to stop reading. Genesis 2:16, and I have English Standard Version, so it's going to read a little different. Let's see, 16 and 17, and then we'll skip some more. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil ye shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Let's go to verse 20. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he was asleep, took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into it a woman, and brought her unto the man. And then the man said, "This is at last bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Then the third chapter, verse 14-16. And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed you are above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly shall you go, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pains in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And then verse 20 of that same chapter. And the man called his wife named Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. My central thought, I want to get all that background, but I'm going to concentrate on verse 20 there. And the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And I want to speak about Eve, a faithful name. Eve, a faithful name. Now, those brothers of us who are married in here, or if you're dating somebody, How many times have you been accused, brothers, of not listening to your wife? How many times has that happened? It may be that you're watching the game or something, and it's that time she decides to talk when it's in the fourth quarter and 2 minutes to go and the score is tied, and she decides she wants to talk, and you're not listening because you're watching the game, and then she says, "Mom did this and then that," and then you turn around and say, "Well, how's your mom?" You know how that goes. And we get accused of that all the time. And the thing is, most of the time, I shouldn't say most of the time, but a lot of times, we aren't listening. We aren't listening. Husbands don't listen to wives, and wives don't listen to husbands, and children don't listen to parents, and parents don't listen to children. Teachers don't listen to students. Students don't listen to teachers. And congregations don't listen to pastors. And pastors don't listen to the congregation. And then on top of all that, most of the time, let me stop saying most of the time, often we don't listen to God at all. We hear, but we don't listen. There's a difference in hearing what's said and actually listening to what's been said. This is especially true when it comes to the Word of God. So much of our frustration and our hurt of heart is because we have failed to actually listen to what the Word of God said. Let me give an example. You know this passage well in Luke, the 21st chapter, verses 10 through 12. It's very gloomy. It's very gloomy. It says, "Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes in diverse places, and famine and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, there shall lay hands on you, and persecute you, and deliver you into the synagogues, and into prison, and been brought before the kings and rulers for my name's sake." And Jesus goes on to say in the 26th and 27th verse of that, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distresses of nation and perplexities, and the sea and the waves are roaring. Men's heart fell in them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." And then that's pretty grim stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, if you close your Bible up there and says, doom, all is doom. You run like chicken, the sky is falling. And that's all we see. And we don't keep reading. And verse 27 and 28 says, "For then shall you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and with great glory. And these things begin to come to pass. Then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." I said, yeah, it's going to be bad, but the end of the story is I'm coming back. So we have to keep reading. We have to look for the and thens and the buts of Scripture. You know, yes, it was bad, but then, you know, I'm always amazed that we get to, I think it's in John, where after the resurrection of Jesus, and we get that passage that They all scattered and everything. And then after Jesus' resurrection, and then it says, and they were all together. You remember Judas had betrayed him. Peter had denied him. And everybody's mad at James and John for asking Jesus, "Can we sit on your right and left hand side?" All that happened, remember, the evening before his death. You remember? Evening before his death. So the Scripture says they were all scattered. But here they are after the resurrection, and says, and then they were all together. So we have to look for the and thens and the buts of Scripture. And yes, we've sinned and we come short of the glory of God. We all know that all of our righteousness is a filthy rag. And we all know that you and I, we're nothing but a worm or a maggot, as the Scriptures say, in the sight of God, because his word says we are. That's how his word describes us. But we serve a God of hope as well, and a God who is just and merciful. But that same word that calls me a maggot, calls me a sinner, also says that I am a child of the Most High King. So we have to actually listen to Scripture. I like what the Apostle Paul says. Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of death? This is right after Paul goes to that long passage, you know, said, I know what's right. I want to do right. But the right I know to do, that's what I don't do. And, you know, then there's always this war in me between this, in a sense, the spiritual man and the physical man, that dying man, that there's always this war. So Paul says, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? And his answer is, thank God through Jesus Christ it's been done. You have to keep reading. You have to keep reading. So why am I pushing this point? Why is it so important that you not just hear me, but you listen to what's being said? Because it's critical if we're going to understand this text this morning. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. That's Genesis 3 and 20, which we've already read. And another point, we must realize, I know you know this, but let me just say it here as a preface and in a manner of speaking, that we all know that the Holy Spirit is the great inspirer of all Scripture, and that Scripture is God-breathed, and it's profitable for, the Scripture says, for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. And we must believe that the Scripture we read are there for some reason. Regardless of how obscure they are, regardless of how much sense they don't make to us, that they're there for some reason. Let me give you an example of that. You remember Joseph and his brothers. Joseph has made it to Egypt, and his brothers has come down, and he sent them back a few times. And then Joseph finally reveals to himself that he is their brother. And he says, go home and get dad and tell him, let him know that I'm alive and you all come back and you all can stay with me in Egypt. And then we get this verse, Genesis 45 and 24. This is what the NIV reads. Then he said to his brothers, away, and as they were leaving, don't quarrel on the way. For me, that's a strange little verse right there. You know, he said, yeah, I'm alive. I know you meant it for bad, everything, but the Lord meant it for good. So now I'm here. Go get dad and tell him that we're all going to be safe in Egypt. He said, well, when you're going now, don't argue on the way. Now, you know how that went, right, on the trip home. Because they had told dad that Joseph was dead. Well, who's going to tell dad the truth? I'm not. You are. He says, nah, you tell him. Well, it was your idea to put him in the cistern in the first place. No, it wasn't. It was your idea. And so the argument goes on like that. So Joseph says to him, don't argue. Okay, it's done. It's over. Don't argue. Don't worry about how things happen. Don't worry about who's going to explain to dad what happened. Just don't argue. Just go tell him and come back. So it's those verses that seem obscure, but they're there for some particular reason. And our text this morning is somewhat obscure in that sense. But I believe it will be clear if you listen to all God said to the serpent, to Adam, and to Eve. And what makes it a little obscure in the first place? First of all, when it takes place, the timing of the passage, and then the fact that Adam names his wife again. Remember we read, God takes the rib and Adam says, this is, I call you woman because you're taken out of me. But then we get this passage where he names her Eve. So why the name change? And then thirdly, it's a little obscure because of the name he chose. So let's take a look at these and see what the Lord would have us learn about Eve being a faithful name this morning. First of all, this passage takes place after the fall. Now, up to this point, Eve has been called the female or the helpmeet or the woman. And so we're so used to saying Adam and Eve that we think that God named Eve, if I can say that, that God named the woman Eve right after he created her. Or that Adam named Eve right after she is created. You know, we say that so much, that Adam and Eve, that we think that was the original name of the woman. But no, it was woman or helpmeet or female. It takes place right after the fall. Adam says, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of me. And then Genesis 5, 1 and 2 says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. And in the days that God created man, in the likeness of God, he made him male and female, and created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. In the days they were created, God called both the man and the woman, he called them both Adam. So you can say, in other words, they were Mr. and Mrs. Adam. Matthew Henry says that being the first one by nature and afterwards one by marriage, it was fit that they should both have the same name as a token of their union. And to those sisters who are here who are married, yes, there is something glorious of being called by your husband's name. You know, I know we're in a different day now, and it's everybody wants to keep their own name, keep their individuality, and that's the thinking of a modern society. I understand in part what that's saying, but I also understand it speaks volume to how women don't want to honor Scripture as it is written, and that we don't want to honor Scripture as written. It speaks volumes to that. Because there are standards that are biblical that we need to adhere to. And it's a little thing, but it's an important thing that a woman is willing to be called by her husband's name. Okay? Also, it's not only after they actually fall, but it's actually after God's judgment on them for the fall. It's after God increases the pain of childbirth. It's after God places the woman under the law and subjection to the man. It's after God curses the ground because of sin. It's after God reminds them they shall return to the dust of the ground from which they were formed. It's after all that. To me, it just doesn't seem the time to be concerned about what somebody's called. But after all this, after God says all this, the scripture says, And Adam calls his wife name Eve. Adam gives his wife another name. You know, what was wrong with being called a woman? Ever thought about that? But Adam gives her another name. In Scripture, you get this name change after some paradigm shift. I guess it'd be in the way God deals with a person or a situation. It happens with Jacob. Jacob goes down to Haran, and he's there those 21 years, and he comes back, he wrestles with God, and while he's wrestling, God strikes him in his thigh and says, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but you shall be called Israel. That was a shift in a sense in how God was going to deal with Jacob, with Israel. And it's not so much a shift in how God was dealing with it. I say it was shifting how Israel saw himself in relation to God. And maybe that's a better way of saying that. So there's that. Then before that, even there's Abram. And I like Abram because Abram means father of many. I think that's what that name means. And then after that great show of faith, he's called Abraham. And that means father of many nations. Either way, it's sort of funny because he only had one son. He said, what's your name? Abraham. He said, oh, Abraham, you must have a whole lot of children. One boy. Yeah, okay. That's a faithful name, too. So it signifies a change in a relationship. Something has happened that makes this take place. Something happened to make Adam say, okay, you're a woman, but now you're going to be called Eve. There's that shift. Then thirdly, it's a little different because of the name he chose. Now, in Hebrew culture, your name means something. It's a reflection of some character found in the possessor of the name. So Jacob, we talked about Jacob, the grasper of heels and the deceiver. That's what his name meant before God changed his name to Israel. We already mentioned Abraham, the father of many. And then there's my favorite Achan. You all know Achan, right? Achan's the fellow who, after they won the battle at Babylon, they went down to Ai and they lost the battle because back in Babylon, Achan had taken a little scarf and a little wedge of silver. So because of that, they lost the battle at Ai, and Achan and his family were put to death. And guess what Achan's name means? I know it means trouble. So anytime he comes down the street, it's like, oh, here comes trouble. And he was trouble for Israel. So why was the woman, the female, the helpmeet, Mrs. Adam, if you allow me to say so, now called Eve the mother of all living, when God has clearly commanded in the second chapter of Genesis, of every tree of the garden you may eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, and the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So if they're going to die, why call this woman the mother of all living? Even verse 19, for out of the dust thou was taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And then we get to verse 20. Here's the heart of the matter. Eve wasn't even a mother yet. No offsprings had been born, but yet Adam calls the woman Eve. So what moves Adam to do this? The answer, beloved, is he listened to God. He listened to all God said. He really heard what he said. Now can you imagine the terror that struck Adam and Eve that day for violating the law of God? To see the Almighty God take this beautiful upright serpent and say, from now on your belly you shall go and shall eat the dust of the ground, and the serpent ends up on the belly. Can you imagine seeing that and knowing that, hey, we messed up too? Can you imagine the thought that's going through? So what's in store for us? If he did this to the serpent, what's God going to do to us for violating this law? Again, I say, God is merciful. He's a merciful God. Amen. And there's hope for the sinner this morning, just as there was hope for Adam. So what did Adam hear? What did Adam hear God say? Verse 15. First thing he hears is, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thy shall bruise its heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. First of all, it says that God says you're going to have children. Amen? He said you're going to die, but he's also said, Eve, you're going to have children. It's going to be with a whole lot of pain, but you're going to have children. In other words, for them, physical life wasn't going to end immediately. And beloved, since God says she's going to have children, guess what? She's going to have children. Oh, yeah, she's going to have children. And there was no way Eve could have died until she had at least one child. While I say that, let me add this too. Yes, Adam and Eve did die that day. The day they sinned, they did die. Okay? I don't want you thinking there's a contradiction in Scripture where God says the day you eat, you shall surely die. They died that day spiritually. Spiritually, they were dead. And if you believe Scripture, if 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord, and you know that little passage, Adam lived 930 years, and then I think Methuselah lived 960 something years, something like that. If 1,000 years is a day to the Lord, nobody has made it a full day. Still, you know, we get this that Adam hears what God says. He's listening to God, and he hears that, Eve, you're going to have children, and one of your seed is going to bruise the head of the serpent. Adam hears all that. You see how important it is that we not just hear, but that we listen to God. We spend most of our time when we're in pain concentrating on the pain, you know, oh, I have a terrible headache, or, you know, or whatever the ailment may be. We spend so much time complaining about and not realize the mercy in the fact that you're able to feel pain at all. Pain lets you know something's wrong. Can you imagine not being able to feel? There are people like that who have no kind of that part of the nervous system where they speak of children all the time where that you have to watch them constantly because they can put their hand on a stove or in a fire or something like that. And because they have no sensation of touch or feel like that, that they'll burn their hand up. Because there's no pain felt. Pain is a great warning system that, hey, something's wrong. So even in that there's mercy in the fact that we feel pain. So he not only heard that the woman would conceive, but that one of the offspring would indeed be a deliverer. God told Satan he would crush your head and you would strike his heel. The promised one who would make things that were wrong right again. He hears it. Okay, we've sinned, we've messed up, but God says there's one coming who's going to make this thing right. Who's going to make this thing right? When Adam calls the woman Eve, it was an act of faith. It was an act of faith. He said in essence, Lord, I believe all I've heard that a deliverer is coming. So it says, because of that, I named the woman Eve. That is a shift. Amen? Mm-hmm. That is a shift. Okay, yeah. Whew. I really thought we were gone right then when the Lord showed up. But he's given us, in a sense, a reprieve for a later day. And because of this, baby, guess what? I'm going to give you a new name. And he names the woman Eve because he listened to God and heard God say that she's going to conceive, she's going to have children, and one of that offspring is going to be a deliverer. Now notice what verse 21 says. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothing. They're clothed after Adam's act of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Don't get me wrong. I know where the faith comes from, okay? It is the gift of God. Don't get me wrong. I know it's a gift of God, but God gives the gift in order that we may truly believe in him and that whole process that righteousness is applied. I don't want folks to get it twisted. Some folk think, you know, you know that group that thinks, well, you got to have faith before God does anything. It's part of the process. But God starts the process. Okay? He starts the process. Yeah, and it's just like, yes, you have to hear the gospel to believe. It doesn't change the fact that that God has chosen you from the foundation of the world, but you have to hear the gospel to believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So it's that type thing that this act of faith on Adam's part that then we see that they're clothed with skins. They're clothed with skins. It's a symbolic of them receiving a righteousness that's, in a sense, not their own. Because you know what they tried to do before, right?
Yeah.
You know? They sewed together fig leaves, you know, and tried to make for themselves clothes. And I think, who was it? President of the National Baptist Convention, past president. I can't think of his name. He said to the fact that Satan tells Adam and Eve that you eat of the tree, you shall be as God, you know, knowing good and bad. And he says to that effect, you can tell he's lying because they couldn't even make a good set of clothes. You know, you're going to know all this stuff and you can't even make a good soup for yourself. You know, what you make is going to wither and die away. And it took the Lord to make coats of skin. It took a sacrifice. It took a sacrifice of an animal for them to be clothed in proper attire. So we talk about faith. What did Adam believe that we must believe? It's the same thing that hadn't changed. In all of history, what we must believe, what Adam believed, in order to be saved, that hasn't changed at all. First of all, he needs to believe that he that is to come, he will crush the head of the serpent. We believe that's happened. That the fellowship has been restored, that broken fellowship between God and man because of sin, that has been restored. And that one day, 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, became sin for us, and they took him up to Mount Calvary, and they nailed him to a cross there, and he bled and died for us. He rose from the grave and went back to heaven and intercedes for us right now, and one day he's coming back again for us.
Yes.
That is the gospel. That is the gospel. Adam may not have all that as we have it today because we are on the other side of Calvary. But Adam believed that there was a deliverer. Somebody's coming that's going to get Satan for doing this to us, in a matter of speaking. And Adam says, because of that, woman, I call you Eve. I believe it is as God says. I give you the name Eve, because right now we don't have any children, so that makes you the mother of all living. Funny little thing I found out. I was reading over the other in Isaiah 53, where it says, "And he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied." That word there for travail is the same word we get for pain during childbirth, that labor pains. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. After all that, he shall be satisfied with his. And that's that maternal instinct of God, if you allow me to say so, that the mother goes through an awful lot of pain to bring the child into the world. But it fades fairly quickly when she sees the child. When she sees the baby. Beloved, that hadn't changed. It was painful, awful painful for God to give us birth. It was the pain of Calvary. It's the pain of ridicule and the pain of the rejection of his Father and all of our sins being upon him. That was painful.
Yes.
But he goes through that. And he sees the result thereof. He sees that the church is in the baby's born, in other words. And he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Oh, it wasn't all in vain. It wasn't all in vain. Yes, beloved, if something's going to be birthed that's worthwhile, it's going to be done with pain. Our salvation. It comes to us through the pain of Jesus Christ, bore Calvary, and bore Calvary. So what's that to say? That Adam, he looks at the woman. He hears all God has to say. He hears what God has to say. He listens to God, and God says, "You're not going to die right away." Adam doesn't know when the deliverer is coming. That's not his concern. He said, all I know is God said that we aren't going to die immediately, that there will be children born and one will be a deliverer indeed. I believe that. I believe that. So he gives Eve that faithful name. Beloved, if you're here and you don't have hope in Jesus Christ, yes, that's what you must do. Yeah, there is that responsibility on our part. We must believe. Again, you know, we are Calvinists, and we think that salvation is of the Lord, and yes, it is, and he gives us everything we need. But in that giving, we must believe. There's no salvation if you don't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, he brings us to that. He brings us to that. But you must believe. You must believe. I pray God bless you this morning. Praise God bless you. And my point again is that we hear, we listen to all God has told us and that he is telling us in his word. And don't stop at the gloomy part, you know? Yeah, it is bad, okay? America is not the country it used to be, and you know, and things look bad. Sin seems to be on great display throughout the world and all. And we do wonder, you know, what's going to happen? Is it going to decline? And I'm afraid it's going to continue to decline. But that's not the end of the story. It ends in Revelation. And John says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. So whatever happens, whatever you face in life, if you're truly a believer in Jesus Christ, know that this is not the end for you. Whatever you're going through is not the end for you. I often say it like this, the worst thing that can happen is I die and go to heaven. It may be painful while I'm here, but in the end, the worst thing that can happen to me because Jesus Christ has saved my soul is I die and go to heaven. And I pray you keep that ever before you in your hearts and mind that God's not through. He's not through. It may be gloomy right now, whatever you're going through, but listen to all that he said. Listen to all that he said. Remember the disciples, what they did. They didn't hear Jesus, did they? He said, the Son of Man goes as written, and I betrayed and everything, but I go before you into Galilee. They missed that last little part, that I'll see you in Galilee. And all they could see was Jesus Christ dead, hanging on a cross, so beaten so bad he's unrecognizable. Surely nobody can come back from that. Not only is he nailed, but the Roman soldier ran him through with a spear. How can anybody come back from that? And Jesus' words are, I'll see you in Galilee. Right? We have to hear everything he says, beloved. We have to hear everything he says. Believe the promises of God. Believe the promises of God, whatever you're going through. God bless you this morning.
To the internet folks, and we'll turn them off.
Before you turn that off, right there.
Yes.
I ask that everybody remember my daughter Stephanie in prayer. She has for Israel Wednesday, and she'll be there to October the 4th or 5th.
Okay, internet folks, we're not done yet. We'd like you to remember Barney's daughter Stephanie. She is heading to Israel, and we'd like you to keep her in your prayers. So, folks on the internet, appreciate you in that, and please pray for Stephanie.